Let's pick up at verse 21, John chapter 8, verse 21. Appreciate you being here this afternoon. I'm just speaking for myself. I'm tired. I am very sleepy. But I'll do my best not to go to sleep on you. Chapter 8, verse 21. Then said Jesus again to them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself, because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come? And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. One of the striking things that we get from the passage that we have started with here this morning is basically we are made to understand why it is that so many are antagonistic against the Lord Jesus Christ. And I mean, why it is that not only that they not believe, but they are antagonistic toward the Lord Jesus. And Jesus, in the passage we read here this afternoon, he makes it clear that there are basically two different groups. Okay? There is the group that is from above, and there is the group that is from beneath. Now, I realize that he has said here, I am from above, and ye are from beneath. But I hope to show you that inasmuch as Jesus is from above, those who are in Christ are also from above. Okay, and I'll show you some text there that will prove that point. Nevertheless, there's a reason why people don't believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, regardless to how reasonable it is. And it simply is because they are from beneath. Okay? They are of this world. Now, Jesus here, he says of this particular group that they shall die in their sins. He says, if you don't believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Now, I want to spend a little bit of time, just a little bit, because I'm pretty sure that all of you understand this, but I want to spend just a little time explaining to you that, again, belief on the Lord Jesus Christ is not causal in our salvation. It is evidential. Okay? Belief on the Lord Jesus Christ is not causal of our salvation. It is evidential of salvation. It is evidence that we are saved from our sins. But these individuals, so having said that, those who don't believe don't have that evidence. Now, there's a lot of debate among primitive Baptists especially as to how important belief is, okay, as far as it relates to the child of God and not. All right, I'm not going to get into that debate. But let me say this, that I believe that one of the highest evidences that one is born of God, that he is, and I'm going to give away some of my thought and some of the things I want to tell you about a little bit later, that he's born from above, okay, is that he believes on and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Good works, great evidence. But if you want the, you know, absolute, positive, you know, no question, no holes barred evidence that you're born of the Spirit of God, your belief on the Lord Jesus Christ is that evidence. Unquestionable. Okay? Now, I personally can't see whether or not you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But when it comes to my own, you know, assurance, if you will, I know whether or not I'm trusting on the Lord Jesus Christ, or if I'm not deceived, I, you know, have pretty good confidence or lack thereof, all right, if I believe or don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? I hope it makes sense. So we ended this morning with the thought that Jesus said to these particular Pharisees, "I go my way." And we talked about where he was going. But notice something in our text here that we've addressed before, back in chapter 7, and we'll just touch on it just briefly here again. He says there in verse 21, "And ye shall seek me." Now, any Bible reader, especially those who are have studied the various characteristics of someone who is not born of the Spirit of God, know that a person not born of the Spirit does not seek the Lord. Okay? But here, Jesus says to this group, they're going to die in their sins, and they are from beneath, and He says that they shall seek Him. So, in what sense does He mean that they will seek Him? And again, we've talked about this before. In fact, 2 months ago yesterday, we talked about this. All right, so you can go back and look up that that discourse. Nevertheless, we said before, the Jews had a teaching concerning the Messiah. There were things that they believed about the Messiah that were erroneous. Okay, nevertheless, they believed the Messiah would come, and what they taught about the Messiah was that the Messiah would deliver them from their bondage. He would deliver them from their Roman occupiers. He would bring to them great prosperity. Though they would, I mean, just like they would be a world power. You know, all these kinds of things. All kinds of things that you and I would certainly desire too. We desire a prosperous, you know, country, which we are, have been blessed for, you know, at least 100 years, you know, more. We've been blessed with great prosperity in this country. And we have been blessed with a great deal of liberty. Though the more I think about the liberties we have, we don't have as much liberty as we think we have. But be that as it may. But, you know, we experience a great deal in this country. And we could desire, and perhaps we do, perhaps you do, more benefits. Okay? Now just imagine that this desire for more you have in your mind is centered around an individual. That's where the Jews were. They believed that they would have liberty, they would be free from all their enemies, they would be free from the Roman dominion and all that sort of thing. And they saw it. They sought for that Messiah. That was their teaching concerning the Messiah. Now, it wasn't the teaching of Scripture, all right? They had some things confused about that. They were deceived, you know, and had deceived themselves concerning the teaching of the Messiah. And so, but be that as it may, they were seeking the Messiah. Jesus says here, "Ye shall seek me." I believe it was in that standpoint or from that perspective. They were under Roman dominion now, and it was only going to get worse, okay, before the Romans destroyed the temple, destroyed the cities, the major cities of Judea. And they desire for that Messiah to come and deliver them from that. But that's as far as their teaching on the Messiah was concerned. Okay? But they sought the Messiah from that perspective. But to seek Him from the perspective that He was going to deliver them from their sins, that He is the Son of God, that He is Jesus, they would not seek Him as in that manner. Do you understand what I'm saying? So they didn't seek Him in that way. All right, so that's enough on that. Jesus says, "Whither I go, you cannot come." We talked about that. "You shall die in your sins." I want to get to that expression when we get to verse 24. Verse 22, "Then said the Jews," will He kill Himself? "Because He saith, whither I go, ye cannot come." Think about the question. So they're saying there, they're supposing that because He's made that statement, He must mean that he is going to kill himself. Well, think about how ridiculous that statement is. Because he said, whither I go, ye cannot come. Well, if they think that he means suicide, could they commit suicide? Could they take that same route, so to speak? Well, of course they could, right? He obviously doesn't mean suicide. And he certainly doesn't mean death. But they got in their minds that maybe that's what his thinking is. It's just another evidence of how blind they are to the truth. Okay? You're shining the light of the gospel right in the face, in their faces, so to speak, and they can't see it. Alright? It's just like John records for us in chapter 1, verse 5, the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Okay? They just do not get it. They don't understand. Alright? So, they're confused. Verse 23. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. So, two groups of people. There are those who are from beneath, and those specifically he's talking about are those who shall die in their sins. Okay? And then there are those, Jesus included, who are from above. In chapter 3, you remember that discussion that Nicodemus and Jesus had. Jesus made this statement, shortly after Nicodemus came to him by night. And he said in verse 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. If you look in the margin of your Bible, if you've got a good reference Bible, that word again can also be translated from above. Again, we read in verse 5, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So there's a difference. There's those who are, let's just say this. There are those who are born of God or born from above. Born of above and born of God are talking about the same thing. Same thing. There are those who are from beneath. That's where all of humanity is, save the grace of God. If the grace of God makes a distinction in a person and comes to them and borns them from above, they are not from beneath, they are from above. Do you see that? And if they are from above, Jesus explains to Nicodemus and to us, if you are born from above, you're able to see the kingdom of God and you're able to enter the kingdom of God. If you are not born from above, you can't see and you can't enter. So Jesus says, I'm from above, you are from beneath. All right. He said just before that, whither I go, ye cannot come. Why? Because they're not born from above. And nor will they be born from above. Only those born from above can go where Jesus goes. He's already gone. Okay? He's already gone. That's where he is. He's at the right hand of the majesty on high, as we said this morning. Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Again, Jesus says, I am from above. We said earlier that those who are in Jesus Christ, who have been born of the Spirit, are born from above, they are above. In John chapter 17, Jesus, as some regarded as his high priestly prayer, he makes this statement unto the Father in his prayer. He says, I have given them thy word. He's talking about his disciples. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world. Being from beneath and being of the world are synonymous. That's what Jesus says in our text. All right? Because he says again, this is chapter 17, verse 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Jesus says, I'm not of the world, they are not of the world. Do you see that? Ooh, that's good. We're not of the world. If we're in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're in Him, and He represented us when He went to Calvary's cross and He laid down His life for His people, if we were in Him when He did that, we are not of the world. We are in Him. We are from another world, in a manner of speaking. Okay? We are from above. Isn't that kind of crazy to think about? That we are from somewhere we've never been. Yet. And yet, here we go. Here's a good one for you. And yet, we're already there. Isn't that right? Think about it now. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians. Let me see here. Listen to the language. This is really good. You know, I'm reading from chapter 2 of Ephesians. And he's talking about what he has done when he has quickened us. We were one way before we were quickened. Now we are another way. All right? Then he goes on to say, while we were in this, and our native depravity, if you will, he describes that in verse 3. But God, verse 4, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, comma, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. When Christ was quickened, we were quickened. By grace, he says, ye are saved. And hath raised, look at the tense of that verb there, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Isn't that cool? We're from above. We've never been there, and yet that's where we're from, and yet while we're here, never having been there, yet at the same time, that's where we are. Is that enough to give you a headache? I think that's really cool. It's similar, and I just a tiny bit similar to what Jesus said to Nicodemus when he said there in chapter 3, in verse 13, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. He is the Son of Man he has reference to. And yet at the same time, Jesus says to Nicodemus, like, I'm here and I'm also there. That's a God thing. And that's the only way we can be from a place we've never been and yet be at that place while we're not there. It's a God thing. It's true in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's in Christ. That's all true because we are in Christ. Okay? Everything, every blessing, every benefit we have because we are in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. We can go to sleep on that. Amen. That's good stuff. So, we are not of this world, but Jesus goes on to explain in chapter 17. He says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. We're not of the world, but we're living in it. We're living beneath, but we're not from here. We're from above. Okay? And we are because of what we are in Jesus Christ. We're from above because of Christ. Inasmuch as we are considered to be in Him. Okay. So, our last verse of our text. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. Let's stop there. Ye shall die in your sins. We said this morning, we looked at the picture of the cross and the two crosses, you know, on each, the cross on each side of the Lord Jesus. We find one thief who is railing upon the Lord Jesus. In fact, both of them did it, you know, to a certain point. And then one of them, I believe he was born again. I believe that at some point while he was on the cross, he's not only born again, but he's converted, all right, to a place where he understands this man next to me is the Son of Man. This man next to me is more than just man. He is verily the Christ. And he says to Jesus, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Okay? And the other guy on the other side of Christ just continues to rail. So one, that one on that one side, he dies in sin. The one on the other side of Christ dies to sin. Jesus dies for sin. Okay? Those who die in sin, they die, to put it, they die in, they're dead of trespasses and sins already, right? And they die in that state. They die with the guilt of sin upon them. They die defiled by their sins. They die being liable or guilty before God because of their sins, and they are also liable to punishment for them. To die in sin means that that individual is going to, going to be punished forever. He's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He's judged according to his own works, as John tells us in Revelation chapter 20. And those not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life are cast into the lake of fire that burneth with fire and brimstone. There's a difference between dying in sin and dying in Christ. Okay? There is a difference between dying in sin and dying in Christ. We read in Scripture the phrase asleep in Christ. Now, you and I both know that that word asleep in Christ means they're dead. All right? Paul makes that clear both in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. They're dead. All right? But he refers to their death in Christ as a being asleep in Christ. Their bodies sleep, as it were. They're just waiting a while until Jesus raised them up, immortal, all right, incorruptible, unites them with their soul and spirit, and they all three parts of that person will be with Christ forever. They're asleep in Christ now. There's a vast difference between being dead, dying in sin, and dying in the Lord Jesus Christ. Big difference. These individuals here, Jesus says, they shall die in their sins. And then he says in verse, in the latter part of this verse, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. You want evidence of whether or not you will either die in sin or die in the Lord Jesus Christ, as it were? Do you believe? The greatest evidence is belief on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you believe that He is the Christ, the Son of God, you have life. You have life. If you don't believe, you just might die in your sins. It may be evidence that you're not born of the Spirit of God. All right? I'm not going to say you're not born of the Spirit of God, but I'm telling you, you don't have a whole lot of evidence that you are if you reject that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. There's a lot of folks that we read in Scripture that believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, but they never confessed Him. The only way that I can remotely think that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, is that you confess Him as such. I can't see in your heart and see what you're really believing. We read in Scripture, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Okay? If your mouth ain't speaking it, and you ain't living it, I ain't got much evidence here to prove it. You might be able to, you know, with some assurance say, I am born of God. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. I believe that He is my Savior. But I, looking at you from the outside, can't really see that unless you're confessing and living. You understand? May the Lord add His blessing.